In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. A great welcome to you on this always a lovely feast day, Our Lady taking her rightful place back with her Son in glory. He the first fruits, but she, of course, joining rightly in her place at his right side, there to reign in glory with him. But also great encouragement to us as well. We always need to take that in. In other years, I have spoken to you about our first reading, about Mary the Ark, when the heavens opened, and there they see the Ark. And what is the Ark? It's the woman. The woman, Mary, who brings God's presence to us in the sense of his Son, of course. We sang about sojourners in this vale of tears. You can see with a sorrowful family, Lithuanian family, who are here this evening. Their 33-year-old, his mother's here, son died. I don't know any of the circumstances, but we just hold Darius in our prayers tonight and all the family there, because it's always a reminder that in all our joys, and that hymn reflected it, in this vale of tears as well too. We're always walking both ways. And of course some of it's always part of our sinfulness, which we call to mind as we prepare to celebrate the sacred mystery. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary set out and went as quickly as she could to a town in the hill country of Judah. She went into Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. Now as soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She gave a loud cry, said, "Of all women, you are the most blessed, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why should I be honored with a visit from the mother of my Lord? From the moment your greeting reached my ears, the child in my womb leapt for joy. Yes, blessed is she who believed that the promise made her by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit exults in God my Savior, because he has looked upon his lowly handmaid. Yes, from this day forward, all generations will call me blessed, for the Almighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name, and his mercy reaches from age to age for those who fear him. He has shown the power of his arm. He has routed the proud of heart. He has pulled down princes from their thrones and exalted the lowly. The hungry he has filled with good things, the rich sent empty away. He has come to the help of Israel, his servant, mindful of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, of his mercy to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back home. The Gospel of the Lord. The start of the new term in September every year, the 6-7-year-olds, the first year juniors in RE, were asked to draw a birthday card for Our Lady, because within the first few days of the new term, it would be Our Lady's birthday. And the teacher said to them, "I want you to draw Our Lady as you think she was, whatever she might be doing." And so you can imagine, some of the drawings showed Mary doing the kind of things that their own mums did or their nans did. Perhaps in the kitchen doing some cooking or washing up or some household chores. Perhaps she was sitting watching the telly with Jesus, because they didn't realize they didn't have telly in Jesus' day. Perhaps she was pushing the pram with Jesus in it on the way to the shops. Or maybe she was just walking, holding his hand as the little one on the way. All sorts, shapes and sizes of Our Lady. And one I can always remember, because they just remember it's just at the end of the school holiday, there was Jesus and Joseph and Mary at the seaside, because they saw to the Sea of Galilee. So they'd been to the seaside, so they went to the seaside. But what united all the pictures was their humanity. This was their mum, Jesus' mum. They knew Jesus' mum was special, but so was their mum. And there was a lovely song we used to sing, they all used to sing, "I'm special because God's chosen me." And Mary was special because God chose her. And they knew they were like that. So there's that very human side to it. Now I want you to hold that image, that human side, because when we're here tonight, no, whenever we gather, there's that human side to it. As I say, we come in, I'm often saying to you, aren't I, about the different things that we come in on our hearts and our minds, and somebody comes in full of joy because something's happening, and a family here tonight, particularly for Darius, aged 33, you think our Lord died at 33. Before we finish tonight, I'm going to give the sacrament of the sick to Joe, who's going to have a new hip. What with the new knees and new hips, I'm losing track of what everybody's getting at the moment. But there's a sense in which, you see, that there's always things going on in our lives, the human side. And then, and I know I've mentioned this one before, keep that in your mind, the human side, but then I take you, but only in your mind, I'm afraid, to the magnificent cathedral in York, known as York Minster, and the vaulted arches you can look up, but ours is a different sort of roof, where the arches come and meet in the middle, the bosses. And there, high at the entrance to the choir in York Minster, is a boss of the Assumption of Our Lady. It dates from the 15th century, when the cathedral minster was still in Catholic hands. It's beautifully coloured, and it shows Mary crowned ascending towards heaven in an oval garland and garland of flowers, and supported on either side by golden angels. So in a sense, it's a very different sort of picture from the ones that our children drew or you've got in your mind's eye. Because on that one, she can almost see, because it's high up and you've got to look well up into the minster roof to see it. But there it is, and almost lifting us heavenward. And there is a sense in which this feast invites us to look in both directions. It reminds us that she was chosen and she was special, and Elizabeth picked that up in that visitation. The human Mary makes that trek of a journey from Nazareth down through Judah to the hill of Judah, near just outside Jerusalem, where Elizabeth and Zechariah lived. And a treacherous journey. I mean, you can do it in an hour and a half in a coach today, but probably 4 days in Mary's day. But she went, that very human side, to help Elizabeth in her great moment. And yet at the same time, that is also lifting us to another plane. And how we need to refresh ourselves in that when, as I say, Darius at 33 lies here with us overnight. Mary's earthly existence found its meaning and completion in her heavenly existence, which is why that first reading, that John, who was given the care of Jesus' mother by Jesus on the cross, "There is your mother, there is your son." John sees that heaven opened. And he sees the temple and the ark of God, and it's the woman. It's Mary. Mary. And so that transition that she made is meant to for us. Every believer, one day, present as she is, to her son. And so Mary is that sign of hope for us and a promise of future glory. And in a way, that's what the second reading was all about. The wonderful consequence of the resurrection is that all will be brought back to life in Christ. Death has been destroyed, says St. Paul, so that in the fullness of time, all who have fallen asleep in Christ and belong to him will be raised to the heights of heaven. And so when Mary proclaims her Magnificat, which was part of the gospel, and it's the paraphrase we use in our final hymn tonight as a paraphrase of the same thing, she gave thanks for what the Lord had done. It's impossible to think at which point of her life she was conscious of all the implications of what the Lord had indeed done. Probably many moments that she went through and wondered what it was all about, just as we do in our own lives. Why is the Lord doing whatever he's doing to us? Why am I like this? Why is that happening? Why is all that? We don't always know. And yet Elizabeth describes Mary as blessed among all women. Blessed not only because God had chosen her, but because she believed the promises made to her by God would be fulfilled. And we have been called and chosen just as she was. And we too, in the mist sometimes of life, need to try and discern what's the Lord saying to us. What is he fulfilling in our lives? Because the promise made to Mary was that she would give birth to God's son, the woman in the first reading who brings forth the son. But that's a prelude to another promise, that whoever believes and lives in him will not die but have eternal life. Obviously, I'd prepared some of these words before tonight, not knowing, because I didn't know until last night, that Darius was going to be here. And I think most of the family have very little English, so won't understand what I'm saying. But at the same time, it reminds us how our faith comes together. And all the wonderful feast days and the fast days have the same thing, that Jesus, who promises that if we live and believe and belong to him, we will not die, but we'll have eternal life. And that's the promise for all of us that are here. Taken up body and soul into heaven, Mary's sort of assumption, as it were, flows out of the Easter mystery, as all the sacraments do. And so it's her feast, but we're called to it, because it's ours as well. Because Christ is the first fruits, as Paul says, and then those who belong to him. Who belong more to him than his mother? What a proper, rightful sense. Christ the first fruit, those who belong to him. Mary takes her proper place. But we too belong to him. And we're in the Ascension Day often say, where he has gone, we hope to follow. She is a hope and example for us.